I want to take this opportunity to thank Brian for including me in this symposia and the opportunity to talk to you all about nitrogen source effects on N2O emissions under irrigated corn. And I also want to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Steve Del Grosso, who's been working with me for the last several years on these N-source studies. A little background information, which has been covered quite clearly by the previous speakers, but I'll go over it again. Agriculture contributes approximately 67% of the U.S. total N2O emissions, and the global warming potential of N2O is approximately 296 times greater than that of CO2. So although it's present in a smaller quantity, it has got 300 times almost the impact of carbon dioxide. We do know that applying nitrogen fertilizer to crops generally increases N2O emission from cropping systems. Therefore, it becomes very important for us to develop management practices to reduce N2O emissions from agriculture cropping systems. Now, there's been limited research showing or that contrast results from N-source effects on N2O emissions. Just a little bit of recent work by ARS scientists, some work by me and my colleagues published in SSSAJ, we reported that there was no reduction in N2O emissions with polymer-coated urea compared to granular urea in conventionally plowed a corn system. But when we used a no-till corn system, we had a 49% reduction in N2O emissions. We also compared some stabilized fertilizers and found a reduction in N2O emissions with these stabilized ureas compared to urea in irrigated no-till corn, barley, and corn bean rotations. Some other work that we did on just N sources, published in JEQ in 2010, we found that polymer-coated urea, stabilized urea, and stabilized UAN and UAN reduced soil N2O emissions compared to granular urea, and the stabilized UAN compared to UAN without the stabilizer in a no-till corn system. And a JEQ article that we have just been accepted and published online right now shows similar results in a strip-till system, polymer-coated urea, the stabilized urea, the stabilized UAN, the slow-release UAN, and UAN reduced N2O emissions compared to granular urea. And the stabilized and slow-release UAN compared to UAN in a strip-till system. Other work, Hyatt et al., publication in SSSAJ in 2010, reported lower N2O emissions using pre-plant applications of polymer-coated urea compared to 5 to 6 applications or split applications of granular urea to potatoes. This is work by Venteri's group in Minnesota. Venteri and SSSAJ 2010 showed lower N2O emissions with urea than anhydrous ammonia, and he just gave you a good presentation on some of that data. And also his 2011 JEQ article showed reduced N2O emissions with stabilized urea products containing urease and nitrification inhibitor, I believe the source was SuperU, compared to a polymer-coated urea ESN in no-till and conventional till corn. But these were also less, it was not significantly less than granular urea. Sistani and all in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and another manuscript just accepted and online now in JEQ showed no reduction in N2O emissions with enhanced efficiency nitrogen fertilizers compared to urea and UAN. But there's less N2O emissions with these synthetic fertilizers than with the poultry litter. There was quite a large difference between the two sources here. Today, I'd like to share with you some of the work that we've been doing on N sources, and our study objective was to evaluate N source effects on soil nitrate, soil nitrous oxide emissions from irrigated, no-till corn, and I want to show the growing season in a non-crop period here, and then compare these N2O emissions under no-till to the strip-till system that I reported last year at this meeting. Our nitrogen fertilizer sources we looked at were granular urea, 46% N, the polymer-coated urea, ESN, 44%, the stabilized urea, super-U, 46%, and the liquid UAN, 32%, and then a stabilized liquid UAN, which contained the Agritain Plus, a 32% N product. The N rate, we used one N rate for all of these, and that was 202 kilograms of N per hectare for all N sources. We did include a check plot that was located in a separate plot from the N sources, which had not received nitrogen for several years. All the N sources were surface band applied near the corn row at corn emergence, plus we included a subsurface band ESN treatment. Now, we followed application of nitrogen with 19 millimeters of irrigation water the next day. Designation of treatments, the ESN is the surface band. The ESN SSB will be the subsurface band treatment. Now, the UAN plus AP is the UAN with Agritain Plus in the figures and graphs that I'm going to show you. Super-U and Agritain Plus are registered products of Agritain International, but they contain urease inhibitor NBPT and a nitrification inhibitor DCD. The ESN is a polymer-coated urea registered product of Agrium Advanced Technologies. Now, a little bit of methodology. This work was done on a Fort Collins clay loam soil. We had a randomized complete block design with three replications, and we took two greenhouse gas measurements per rep for a total of six greenhouse gas measurements per treatment every time we went out there. N2O measurements were made 1 to 3 times per week, and over the last 2 years, it has been nearly 3 times per week during the growing season. Immediately, we put these anchors in immediately following corn planting until corn harvest, which was the growing season, and then once every 1 to 2 weeks during the non-crop period. Static vented chamber technique was used to collect the gas samples in the field, and a gas chromatograph was used to analyze the concentration of nitrous oxide in the samples. Just a shot here, the technicians are taking greenhouse gas samples and soil water and temperature measurements with sensors that were placed in the soil. The cover here is on. We take the sample, we take that sample into the lab, and we inject it into evacuated vials and then put them on the GC for analysis. The anchors go in the day we run the planter through the field. We know where the corn row is. We put them in and start our measurements within about 3 days after the anchors have been put in. The corn is cut off at about this stage and removed from the anchors. Cumulative growing season precipitation and irrigation. In 2009-2010, we had a difference here in the amount of precipitation. 2009, we had about 259 millimeters during the growing season, which is a drought for most of you in the more humid areas. In 2010, we had 129 millimeters of precipitation. Both years, we applied about 397 millimeters of irrigation water for a total here of about 650 millimeters in 2009 and about 530 in 2010. And you can see here the precipitation differences. We were a little bit wetter during the early spring, and then it dried out by mid-August through most of the growing season. In 2010, we were pretty dry. Early on, we had some rain in May and early June, and then it got pretty dry for the rest of the season with very little water during the growing season this summer or last summer. Taking a look at soil nitrous oxide flux during the growing season and non-crop period, what you see here is the fertilizer was put on day of year 145 or May 25th, and within a couple of days of nitrogen application, we got these huge peaks of N2O coming off, particularly for the urea and the UAN treatments. Also, the Super U, the blue line here, came up and immediately went back down following fertilizer application and remained near baseline, whereas the UAN and urea bounced around here for several days. Later in the season, starting in late June and in through parts of August, the ESN treatment started to give us our N2O emissions. They were down here at baseline throughout most of this time, and then we got emissions from the ESN treatments, with the ESN subsurface band being slightly higher than the ESS surface band. And by mid-August, everything was down to baseline, and then through the non-growing period, there was no real difference here between end source and no spikes with water or irrigation or anything like that after about mid-August. So no big nitrogen application differences here. When we take a look at the cumulative values here of daily flux, you can see for the urea, we have a very rapid rise in N2O emissions following nitrogen application, and this is for 2009. And the same is true for the UAN. It comes off quite rapidly and then levels off. The ESN treatments, they have sort of a delayed release here, coming up later in the season. And here's the ESN subsurface band and the ESN surface band. The Super U and the UAN, they came off a little bit later, the delayed release, and leveled off shortly after about mid-June or so. Taking a look at how long it took to get to 80% of the growing season release here, this is percent of the growing season N2O emissions at 80%. UAN and urea took about 24 to 23 days to reach that 80% emissions level. The UAN with Agritain Plus and Super U took about 40 to 46 days. And the ESN subsurface band and surface band took about 65 to 70 days. And so you can see the different fertilizer sources here took longer for emissions. The polymer-coated ureas had this delayed emissions compared to the regular UAN and urea. And those with the inhibitors had a slight delay in N2O emissions. Taking a look here at the average cumulative growing season N2O emissions for 2009 and 10, we see that the urea had the highest level of emissions here in terms of grams of N per hectare. The ESN subsurface band had a higher emissions than the surface band, significant difference here, but the ESN treatments were less than that of urea. UAN was significant less than urea, and the Super U was the same as the UAN, but the UAN with Agritain Plus was significantly less than UAN. The check plot with no nitrogen applied, of course, was the lowest level of emissions. When we take a look at the percent of N loss per unit of N applied, the urea was about 0.7%. ESN's subsurface band was 0.6%. UAN, 0.4%. percent, and then the ESN and Super U were about 0.3% loss, but the UAN with Agritain Plus was 0.2%. So when I look at this, we are well below the 1% emissions level used by the IPCC, and this has been true for several years now on our N-source studies. Taking a look at N-source effects on reducing N2O emissions in no-till corn, average of 2 years here. The ESN give us a subsurface band, give us a reduction of 13% compared to urea. UAN 41%, Super U 46%, ESN 57%, and UAN with Agritain Plus about 62%. When we compare these to UAN, Super U give us about a 9% reduction, ESN 27%, and UAN with Agritain Plus about 36%. So some of these enhanced efficiency fertilizers, as they're called, have given us some significant reductions here in N2O emissions. Taking a look at the end source effects on grain yield, both the years there was no significant effect of end source on grain yield, so averaged over the 2 years here. These are fairly good yields for our area in Colorado, and there was no significant difference here between or among the end sources. The only difference is with the check plot being significantly less than where we applied nitrogen fertilizer. We've expressed growing season N2O emissions on a per unit of grain yield to get some agronomic evaluation in here. And what we see is that urea and the ESN subsurface band were not significantly different, with a trend of slightly less with the ESN subsurface band. The Super U and the UAN were significantly less than that of urea. And the ESN surface band was less than that of the UAN. And then the UAN with Agritain Plus was down there around 40 grams of N2O per megagram of grain. And the check plot, which was the lowest, was around 20 grams, but this is not an economical treatment. And so it although you got a very good ratio here, it's not affordable. Taking a look at some of comparisons like Van Grogen and Venturi and them have done, we looked at the N2O emissions as a percent or as a factor of grain in uptake. And what we see here is then we've got the grams of N2O emissions per kilogram of N applied or per kilogram of grain in uptake. And we see again the same trend as we did with yield. No difference between the urea and the ESN subsurface band. UAN and Super U were not different but significantly less than urea. ESN was not different from the UAN and Super U. And then the UAN with Agritain Plus was significantly different from UAN. And again, the check plot, the UAN plus Agritain Plus was not different from the check. So this gives a sort of an agronomic evaluation here and shows that we can grow a crop of corn here and have good nitrogen use efficiency and reduce the N2O emissions. Comparing the strip-till to the no-till, a two-year average here, what I'll say is that there was no tillage by end-source interaction. The strip-till and the no-till had the same responses. And when you take a look at this, you see that urea is significantly greater than the ESN subsurface band, and the UAN was significantly less than urea, but the this pointer don't work too good. The Super U was significantly less than the ESN subsurface band, and the ESN less than the UAN. So as you take a look here, and then again, the lowest treatment here, UAN with Agritain Plus. And so this is averaged over 4 site years of data. The check again was the lowest amount. When we take a look at the average N2O loss here per unit of N applied for these strip-till and no-till system, we see a similar trend to what we had for just the no-till. The urea has the highest level of N2O emissions, but less than 0.8%, close to 0.7%. And ESM was less than 0.6% with the subsurface band. The urea was about 0.4%, or UAN, excuse me, and the Super U less than 0.4%, and the ESN less than 0.4%, so significantly less than UAN for the ESN treatment, with the UAN plus Agritain Plus being the lowest at 0.2%. So we see here reduction in loss or from these enhanced efficiency fertilizers. In summary, we can say that the cumulative N2O fluxes increase more rapidly with urea and UAN, as shown in the graphs, than with the other end sources following field application. The enhanced efficiency fertilizer sources and UAN reduced N2O emissions in both the strip-till and no-till corn systems when compared to urea, and the ESN and UAN with Agritain Plus when compared to UAN. Now, the growing season N2O losses per unit of N, we've just covered those, less than 0.8% for urea, less than 0.6% for the ESN subsurface band. And I might add that the subsurface band treatment was always higher than the ESN surface band treatment, and less than 0.4% for all the other N sources. Now, corn grain yields have not been affected by the different N sources. We have the same yield. And the N source selection here is, we think, is a management option for reducing N2O emissions in semi-arid irrigated cropping systems. But we do feel that further evaluation is needed to confirm the effectiveness of these enhanced efficiency nitrogen sources in reducing N2O emissions under other climatic, soil, and management conditions, as indicated by an ongoing multi-location ARS project on N-source evaluation and other research reported in North America. We, in the semi-arid part of the U.S., we're seeing similar results to what I have, but as we go to the more humid areas, we're not getting the big differences in these enhanced efficiency fertilizers that I've seen on my studies. And so we are hoping to get some of this data published in the next year or so from these other locations. I want to thank the funding sources, IPNI, Foundation for Agronomic Research, FAR, with funding from Agrium Incorporated and Agritain International, Georgia Pacific Chemicals and Food Fertilizer Foundation, and the USDA GraceNet program. With that, I want to thank you for listening. And if there's any questions, we can try to answer them. Cliff.
Your low emissions compared to the IPCC factor, in conversations I've had with other people and other studies elsewhere, it seems like you've been able to hone in pretty accurately on what you would consider an agronomic, economic optimum nitrogen rate. And it's possible that our emission factors, when you look at, if one is able to identify what that agronomic economic optimum rate is, that it's possible to get our emissions down below the 1% IPCC factor. So I guess what I'm keying at is you understand the agronomic performance of that system pretty well and you feel fairly confident in your optimum nitrogen rate. And at that nitrogen optimum rate, it would seem that there's a greater opportunity to see these differences among sources than if we are looking at perhaps a super optimal nitrogen rate. So I guess I'm suggesting that we don't really know how well these enhanced efficiency fertilizers might work until we are working near that agronomic optimum.
Right. The question is, if we're got nitrogen fertilizer rates above the economic optimum, we might see less differences in our end sources than we are if we're working in the economic range. And in our study, we had done the nitrogen fertility rates prior to going into these end sources, and so we couldn't do all these end rates and do multiple sources. We just didn't have the people or the time or the money. And so we've chose the economic optimum rate when we've done the study, and we do get some nice clear-cut differences in this. But we do know that when we get into some of the other climates, our system of N2O loss is primarily, we think, nitrification. Whereas when we get into the more humid areas where you don't and they're rain-fed and you got these high levels of precipitation early in the spring, right after nitrogen fertilization, denitrification is a player. And so we're working on one end of the system here and have very little in the denitrification area because we're using sprinkler irrigation, and so we got pretty good control of our water. And when it doesn't rain, it's even easier. Peter?
Yeah, I think that was going to be my question, is about the irrigation management. It seems to be pretty critical as well. Now, you're using sprinkler of irrigation where you might have a flooded field at some point, which might impact this result?
The question is, if we go to other areas where they're using flood irrigation or fur irrigation versus sprinkler irrigation, would we get a different result? I don't have the answer to that, but I would say I would suspect a different result, depending upon the management that's used. If you're using good management, you could have fairly good differences in results. But if you're getting really wet conditions and getting denitrification, I wouldn't take a bet on that at this point. But on the other hand, you could go to a more efficient irrigation system, go to drip irrigation, where you could spoon feed this out. You might even get lower N2O emissions than what we're seeing here with better water control. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's give him another hand.